doing tshuva. Okay? And I want you to feel free to ask any questions that you may have. Okay? Any questions you may have about what we're going to talk about. Okay? Now, what we're using is the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. So the Rambam explains what tshuva is. Okay. Okay. Anybody here have any idea what does tshuva mean? What does the mitzvah of the tshuva mean? Anybody want to just say what they think it is? All right. Go ahead. What? What does repenting mean? It's what? To do good? Well, let's say you do a mitzvah. Is that doing good? Is that tshuva? Okay. What does repent mean? It's a nice word. To feel sorry for what you did. Okay, if a person, let's say a person did an avera, they really feel sorry that they did it. Would you say that person did tshuva? And what? So it's not just feeling sorry, right? So it means he feels sorry, he's not going to do it again, right? Okay, so which one? What? Okay, that's because, right. That you mean Ben Adam LaChavero. That's part of tshuva. Okay, but let's first take Ben Adam LaMarco. Okay, between you and Hashem. All right, and we'll get later to Ben Adam LaChavero. So you're saying that you're feeling sorry, right? And you're not going to do it again, right? Okay, which one is it? Is it feeling sorry or not doing it again? Both. Okay, so let's say a person says he's absolutely not going to do it again, but he doesn't feel sorry. Did he do tshuva or he didn't do tshuva? Right. But let's say a person did an avera, right? And they say they're not going to do it again. They will never do this avera again. Is that tshuva or is that not tshuva? Or let's say the other case. A person feels really sorry, but he doesn't say he's not going to do it again. Need both. So then you're saying that if a person says that he really will never do it again, so you're saying that that's not tshuva. Is that tshuva or is that not tshuva? It is tshuva. Oh, so then you don't need both. You can use either. So if you feel sorry and you're going to do it again, is that tshuva? That is tshuva. Even though you're going to do it again. That's not tshuva. So let's go the other way. So if you're not going to do it again but you don't feel sorry, is that tshuva? You don't think so? Well, let me see. How many think that that's tshuva? How many people think that's tshuva? If you're not going to do it again, but you don't feel sorry, but you're not going to do it again.
Why does it matter if you feel sorry or not,
as long as you're not going to do it again? That's a good question. That's a very good question. I was going to ask the same question. That if you're going to, I want to first find out what you think, but trying to get a consensus of opinion over here.
You know why you're not going to do it again.
Okay, so let's say you know why you're not going to do it again. And you're not going to do it again. But you still don't feel sorry. I don't like to feel sad. So I don't want to feel sorry about things. I'm not going to do it again. That's it. You know what I mean? But don't ask me to feel sorry. I don't want to think about it anymore. I'm not going to do it again. I made up my mind. And that's it. Is that considered tshuva or not?
Yeah.
That is considered tshuva. Okay. So then, and you, what do you say, Aaron?
What does it matter if you feel sorry?
Oh, you're saying you certainly think that the main thing is not to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you have to feel sorry for altogether? Okay? All right, now we'll read the Rambam. We'll see, you tell me what you think the Rambam thinks, okay? Now, the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, Mahi Tshuva. So the Rambam says, in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. He says, he asks the question, what is Tshuva? After all, it's such a big mitzvah. But a lot of times you have a big mitzvah. People don't stop to think of what it is. You have to find out, look into the Torah, find out what the mitzvah is. So the Rambam's like this: Hu sheyazov achote cheto, he should abandon his sin. What does it mean? Abandon his sin? Abandon it. What does it mean? He's right, remove himself from there, that's correct. And the asiro mi machshavto, he says, and he should remove it from his machshava. What does that mean, remove it from his machshava? I mean, that's, you can't think, what?
From his
thoughts. So what do you mean, remove it from his, how can he remove it from his thoughts? If he has to do tshuva about it, how is he going to remove it from his thoughts? That would seem. Okay, so what does it mean, remove it from his thoughts? He has to remove himself, he has to remove that chait from his. Does it mean he can't think about it anymore? Okay, so what word would you substitute? What do you mean he shouldn't think about doing it anymore? You're right. He shouldn't, that's right. See, thoughts, the word thoughts has two meanings. We think of thoughts not to think about it anymore. But if you're not going to think about it anymore, you can't do tshuva, right? So remove it from his thoughts. Over here, thoughts doesn't mean thinking about it. What do thoughts mean over here? His plans, right? Thoughts. Machshava sada means his plans. He should remove it from his plans. In other words, if he's planning to do an avera, so now he has to remove that from his plans, right? Okay. Then he says like this. He says, the yigmar belibo, and he should make up in his heart, shelo yasehu od, that he will never do it again. That's what he's saying, right? Okay. Shenema yazov rasha darko. That's what it means. Yazov rasha darko means he has to abandon his path, the original path of the avera, and remove himself from that whole derech, and remove himself from the plans of the avera. And he has to make up his mind that what? He's not going to do it again. Okay? If he just decides not to plan the Avera anymore, but he didn't make up his mind he's never going to do it again, so that is not tshuva, right? Okay. So according to the Rambam, it would seem that what? That as long as he does that, as long as he makes up his mind that what? That he's never going to do it again, that's tshuva. Then the Rambam adds, he says, V'chein yisnachem al she'ova. And also, what does he have to do? He has to feel sorry for what he did in the past. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Ki achare shuvi, after I did tshuva, then nichamti. Nichamti means, I felt bad. I felt bad about it. Okay? So, from the Rambam, what would you say? Is feeling bad, if you don't feel bad, did you do tshuva or not? What does it sound like to you? What? You did tshuva, but?
But
you're not going to do it again. So that's tshuva, but? Well, you see, the Rambam says there's two things. First, you have to do tshuva, right? That's one thing. And if you make up your mind you're not going to do it again, that's tshuva. But then there's something else. After you do tshuva, now there's another thing you have to do. And what is that called? Nechama. Means you feel sorry. You have to feel sorry also. So feeling sorry is a separate dimension. It's a new thing. In other words, first after you make up your mind, you're not going to do it again. And besides that, you have to feel sorry. And now the question that Aaron asked is a good question. If tshuva is just you made up your mind, you're not going to do it again, so why do you have to feel sorry for it? That's a very good question. I was going to ask that same question. No, he made up his mind. He's never going to do it again. It's like a person says, "Look, I'm not going to do it again. I'll never do this ever again." The only thing is, I don't want to feel sorry about it. I don't like to be sad. Now I have to think back. I did it. I feel sorry. It was terrible. I don't want to think that way. It's not a happy kind of a thought. I don't want to think about it. I'm not going to do it again. That's it. So the question is, right? Why isn't that enough? I'm not going to do it again. That's all I need. What do I have to feel sorry? What do I have to feel bad about it? Right? Yes. That's right. But the only thing what Aaron is asking, the question that Aaron is asking is, why is that necessary? Why is that important? Why isn't it enough just to say you're not going to do it again? And that the Rambam seems to say, the way we read the Rambam, that really is tshuva. So if that's tshuva, so why do you need this additional thing, this additional element, right? Okay, let's leave the question. It's a good question. Okay, we'll come back to it. But it's a very good question. Let's just keep it in mind, okay? And now let's go a little further. The Rambam says further, Rambam says, V'yo'id olav yodea ta'alumas, and the one that knows all hidden things should testify. Means Hashem should say about this person, shelo yoshev lezeh hachet lolo, that this person will never come back and do this sin again. Right? Okay, so the what question should you ask about that? Anybody have any question on that? It says he made up his mind he's not going to do it again, right? And then the Rambam says that Hashem should say about this person that he should witness. Say as if he's saying witness that he will never do it again. No, he doesn't say that. He just says that when the person says that he's not going to do it again, that's not enough. But you need that Hashem should say that he will not do it again. You mean you have to? Oh, now let me ask you a question. Let's say a person did tshuva, right, and he really felt sorry. 100%. Never do it again. Okay? But let's say 5 years, and the person became a tzaddik, right? But let's say 5 years later, the person became a rasha. Alright? Cholila. Let's say such a thing happened. But it could happen. A person is not guaranteed that he's a tzaddik all his life just because he's a tzaddik at one point. It happens. A person could be a tzaddik, and he's not careful. Something can happen. He can become a rasha. Right? So we know that when a person does tshuva, so all the averis that he does tshuva on are forgotten. Right? Now let's say 5 years later this person came in Russia and he did the same avera again. Does it mean that the tshuva was taken away? As if he never did tshuva? Or?
He did
the tshuva.
He's like a new person.
But the Rambam says that Hashem has to be able, as if Hashem at the time would say that he'll never do it again. But Hashem knows the future, right? And Hashem knows that in 5 years he's going to do it again. Because right now, he's doing tshuva. But 5 years from now, he's going to change. So, what? Into what? Right. What do you mean? Yeah, okay. But before, Ganem and Gan Eden is a very difficult thing. I mean, only Hashem knows that. But let's talk about tshuva. Forget about Ganem and Gan Eden. That's not a person deciding. Okay. But the tshuva itself, I want to know. If the person said he's never going to do it again, and 5 years down the line he's going to change, he's going to become a rasha, and he's going to do it again, is that a tshuva or not?
Yeah.
No, because the Rambam says that Hashem has to testify he's never going to do it again, right? But we know, but Hashem knows in 5 years he's going to be a rasha, he's going to do it again. So that's not a tshuva, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you a question. You all know the story with Hagar and Yishmael, right? And Yishmael was dying, right? And the pasuk says that. What was the story? Can anybody tell me? Go ahead. Yes. Right. Go ahead. She started right. And what does it say? So what happened? Did Hashem listen to her? He did? Let me read the pasuk. Pasuk says, it says yes. And what happened when Hashem listened to her? What did he do? Okay. She saw a well of water. But does it say Hashem listened to her? Did Hashem listen to her? Yes or no? Listen to the pasuk. It says, okay, now it says, Vatelach, the pasuk in Vayera, Vatelach, Vateshlo Mineged, right? She didn't want to see her child die, so she moved herself away. And she started to cry, right? She was crying to Hashem. Then what does the next part say? Vayishma Elokim Eskol Hana. Who did Hashem listen to?
The baby.
Yeah. So, did Hashem listen to Hagar?
Yeah.
Who did he listen to? Why? Why? You remember why?
Because he wasn't
No, no, no. Before we get to that, just Hashem listens to who? To the one. To the one that has. That's right. In other words, if you, let's say, for instance, if a person is chalila sick and they're in danger of their life, so what would be better? If they're misbal themselves, or if they have a very great person be misbal for them? What's better? What is better? What's better? What is better? Vayishma lokim eskol hanar. Who does Hashem listen to? The person themselves. Why? What does the pasuk say? That's right. The important thing is that the person who is the Chola themselves should be mispalled to Hashem. That's what the pasuk says. So Hashem listened to who? To Yishmael, to the baby. Not to Har. Doesn't mean he didn't listen, but it means the answer came because of whom? Because of Yishmael. Okay, so that's what you learn from that pasuk. That the person who has the trouble should pray to Hashem themselves. That's the most important tefillah. It doesn't mean you can't have somebody else also be misbal, but the most important tefillah before Hashem is whose tefillah? Person themselves. The person has own. That's right. That's right. Okay. So, all right. That's one thing we learn. Zagrasha, mikan shiyafa tefillah sachol mit tefillah sacherim olav. Okay, viko demes leskabel. That Hashem listens first to the tefillah of the person themselves. Okay, that's one thing we learn from the pasuk. But then there's another thing we learn from the pasuk. It says, "Vayikra malach alakim alhagam and hashemayim vayomalam malach holda al tiri ki shama alakim es kol hanar b'asher usham." Don't worry, because Hashem heard the tefillah of who? Of Yishmael. Right. Okay. But it adds something. It says b'asher usham. What does b'asher usham mean? Somebody was going to explain that. Yes. But later? Right. And Hashem, and even though he became a Russia later, right? But still, how did Hashem judge him?
By the time.
That's right. That's why the Gemara says that a person's always judged. Hashem always judges a person not by the future, but by what?
By the
way they are right now. If right now the person's a tzaddik, Hashem will give him a judgment that a tzaddik deserves. Everything good. You see? Right? That's right. Very good. Oh, Ben Sarah Murray's good. That's good. Yeah, what's the answer? Very good. You're very good. You have a good answer. He's not a tzaddik now. He's not a tzaddik. If he's dead, then he's good. Very good, guys. So, very good. So, good kasha, good answer. So now, how does this affect our mitzvah? We're doing now. Our mitzvah now is tshuva. So, does this present a problem to what we were saying about tshuva? Does it present a problem or it doesn't present the problem? What do you say? It presents an answer. What's the problem, first of all? That what? But it doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter. What's going to happen in 5 years? Hashem doesn't judge a person what's going to happen in 5 years. How does Hashem judge a person? The person in Yom Kippur stands before Hashem, and right now they're a tzaddik. Will Hashem give them everything good that a tzaddik deserves?
Yes.
Even though 5 years from now, he may become a rasha, right? But right now, Hashem judges a person like he is right now, right? So now we have a problem. What's the problem with the Rambam? Because the Rambam says that when a person Hashem testifies and says that this person will never do this avera again, right? But that's not the way Hashem judges a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hashem judges a person how they are now, not by the future, right? So why do I care if the person 5 years from now will do the same Avera, it shouldn't matter. As long as right now he's not going to do the Avera. Right now he accepts upon himself he's not going to do the Avera, right? Is that a question? Okay. So how many questions do we have?
Three.
Okay, what's one?
Is the most common sure?
Okay.
Saying I'll never do it again, sure. And is sure in 5 times.
Right, 2 times. Okay, good. All right. So now, apparently what we have to do is try to understand a little bit more about the process of tshuva. Okay, what tshuva really is. Okay. Okay. Now what I want to show you is that what the Torah's idea of tshuva is something different. It's something different. It's a lot deeper than what most people think tshuva is, and certainly what people in the world think repentance is, because you mentioned the word repentance before, right? But I want to show you, tshuva is not really repentance. Repentance is something else. Our word tshuva means something different than what most people think of repentance, okay? Now, the Rambam says in the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, in his introduction, so he says that there are many important principles that come along with the mitzvah of tshuva. You can't just learn about tshuva without also learning about certain very important yesodos, fundamentals, ikorim, you see. That's what Rambam says that ubiyah mitzvazu v'ikorim hanigrorim imo biglola v'pragamelu, that in these prakam and tshuva, I can't just explain tshuva to you unless I also explain certain important principles that go along with it. What is one of the important principles that the Rambam is talking about? Is there any principle that comes to your mind you think is an important principle that would have to do? It's a principle, one of the most important principles in Torah. All the principles in Torah are important, but this one stands out in our minds as the most important principle insofar as doing mitzvahs is concerned. Do you have any idea what that is? What? The what? Fear of Hashem. Fear of Hashem is a mitzvah, but there's something that's a very important principle. A principle is different than a mitzvah. It's a principle that has to do with something that we believe in. That's a fundamental principle. It's not a mitzvah. It's a principle. It has something to do with our nature. It tells us something about ourselves. What do you think that you have to know? What would you say is an important thing, a very important thing for a person in order to be able to do tshuva, which is a very important principle. The whole Torah is based on this. Have any idea? A principle means something about man, not a mitzvah. Something about us, about our nature. Without this something about our nature, you can't talk about tshuva. Okay? Did you ever hear of the idea of Bechira Chofshis? Bechira Chofshis, do you know what that means? No? Okay. Free will. You know what? You know what free will means?
Yeah.
Oh, what does it mean?
Do something on
your own. Do something on your own. Okay, what do you mean on your own? That's right. That's right.
Go to the store now. If you have
choice,
then
how
did Hashem know the future?
No. That's a different question. But that's another question about Hashem's knowledge. That's a different question. Okay, if you want, I'll discuss it with you later. But it's a very good question. But before we get to that question, what is the idea of choice, free choice? What is it?
Is that you have the choice to do right or wrong.
That's right.
Very good.
In other words, every person is free. There's nothing that is forcing a person to either do a mitzvah or to do an avera. And Hashem never interferes with that free choice, except in certain cases of especially evil people. But normally, normal people that are, even people that are Rishoyim, Hashem does not interfere with the free will that he gave him. So every person has free will. You can either do a mitzvah or you could do an Avera. It's up to you, right? And as you mentioned before, it's a very difficult thing. Why? Because you have the Yetzer Hara on one side and the Yetzer Tov on the other side. Right. So you're caught in this battle, right? And you have to make the choice, right? Okay. Now what I want to go into is a little bit about that idea of what you're caught in between. In other words, you're caught between two forces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you identify the two forces? You see?
One,
it's your conscience?
No.
Okay.
The one is telling you, it's one trying to test you out to see what your real will is.
Okay.
The Yetzer is trying to test you.
Yes, okay.
And the Yetzer is there to try and help you better.
Okay. Now, you mentioned conscience, right? What do you mean by conscience?
Sometimes when you do something bad, you are always silent with them, so they do that.
Okay. In other words, conscience means it makes you feel bad, right? Right? And it makes you feel guilty, right? That's conscience. But what I want to show you is that's not... So conscience is not really the Yetzer Tov. Conscience is not really the Yetzer Tov. As a matter of fact, that's where we differ from the rest of the world. Because conscience means you have a feeling about something from inside you. You feel this is bad. But a lot of times a person may feel that something's bad and the Torah says it's good. You see? So we can't, you see, we're different. We, B'nai Yisrael, are different than the rest of the world. You know why? Because the rest of the world has no system to go by. So therefore they go by their feelings, you see? But we're very lucky because Hashem gave us the Torah, and the Torah tells us what's good and what's bad. So your feelings, are your feelings always in line with what the Torah says? No. So sometimes you can feel something could feel good, and it could be bad. And something could feel bad, right? And it really could be good. It could be it's a big mitzvah. But you have to go against your feelings. Okay? Like, I'll give you an example. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. If a person is a mesis, if a person is... Let's take two examples, you see? Let's take an example of Lashon Hara, right? Lashon Hara feels very good, but it's very bad, right? But sometimes some people can develop a certain feeling about Lashon Hara and they can feel bad about Lashon Hara, right? But sometimes Lashon Hara is good. I'll give you an example. The Torah says if a person is a mesis, let's say you have a person who is telling people to do averis, and they're a bad person, and they're telling other people, and you see that they're causing other people to do the wrong thing, right? Are you allowed to go tell on that person?
Yes.
So now let's say that person is a very close friend of yours and they trust you.
You're going to feel bad.
But is it the right thing? Is it the right thing?
Yes.
Absolutely. So you see, you can't. That's why you can't trust your conscience. When you said you mentioned your conscience, because your conscience will tell you, hey, how could I do this to my friend? He's my friend. You see. But the truth of the matter is that's right. Or let's say you see a very wicked person, and this person is in trouble, and they beg you, please, to help them. So are you allowed to help them? If you know they're a Russian, you know that they're very harmful, are you allowed to help them? If they're harmful? No matter how much, if a person is really, if you know a person is really a Russia, like, then let's say you're like a Nazi, Yimach Shemal, would come and beg somebody, please help me. Would you be allowed to help him? Absolutely not. No matter how much the person would beg you and would make you feel like you should try to help them, you're not allowed to. Your conscience may say to help them, but what does the Torah say? You can't. Because this person is going to harm other people. So therefore, you cannot go by your conscience, by your feelings. You see, you have to go by what Hashem tells you to do in His Torah, which tells you what's right and what's wrong. So that is really the difference between us and between the rest of the world, because the rest of the world doesn't have any system to go by. So the only thing they go by is their conscience. Sometimes the conscience is right, sometimes wrong. You see. But we have a system of thought. When we want to know if something's right or wrong, we don't go into how we feel about it. What do? Go by, look up at the what Hashem says. Hashem says right, if it feels good, feels good, it doesn't make any difference. That's the right thing. Okay? So now we've shown that conscience is not really the Yetzer Tov. Am I right? Ah. So now we have to look somewhere else for the Yetzer Tov. Because what is the Yetzer Tov? So what is the Yetzer Tov? There must, if conscience is not the Yetzer Tov, so we lost. We were trying to find something. We thought we found it. We found it that was wrong, right? Oh, look in the Torah. Okay. So good. Okay. Right. But now, see, but I was asking, we said before that inside you is like a war, a type of a war, right? Because the Yetzer is pulling on one side, the Yetzer is pulling on the other side, right? So you're like a court in between a battle over there, right? So we say, can you identify the two things that are at war? What are they? Okay. So first we said, so the Yetzer Hara, we said, we didn't really identify the Yetzer Hara. That's something else. We start with the Yetzer Tov. So somebody wants to say the Yetzer Tov is conscience, right? So now we showed it's not conscience, because sometimes you have to do something that goes against your conscience, because the Torah tells you to do it, right? So if it's not conscience, so what is the Yetzer Tov? Now you said the Yetzer Tov is to look into the Torah. But to look into the Torah a thing? I mean, we're looking for something inside you. You see? To look into the Torah.
You still have a choice to follow it or not.
It's like instructions. Right. But which part... That's right. But okay. You're saying instructions, right? The instructions is the right thing. That's no question. The instructions are right. But we're looking for which part of you, inside you, makes you go for those instructions. You know what I mean? Which part? The Yetzer Tov. We're looking for the Yetzer Tov, right? So which part of you really... What part of you, I mean, when you say to look in the Torah, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's not what's inside me, right? That's what I'm supposed to do. So you can't say that the good part of me is to look into the Torah. That is the good thing to do. But what is causing that inside me? What part of me pushes me in that direction? There must be the neshama. Okay, what is the neshama? What does that mean? Okay. So you're saying, you're telling me it's a neshama, but could you tell me, can I know what that is, or it's just I heard about it? Can I identify it inside? Could you tell me where your neshama is? Could you? It's your heart? What? They have in a cartoon. You can tell from the cartoons. Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll read you a Rambam, and then you'll tell me if you could figure it out. Okay. Okay. Is what? Is what you think? Okay. 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 What? Okay, I'll read you the Rambam, and you see, the Rambam is a different Rambam. He's talking about a very great person. The Rambam's talking about a Navi. Navi is like the highest level that a person, that a human being can reach. And the Rambam is describing what a Navi is like. What is it like to be like a Navi?
Connection to Hashem.
Okay, so the Rambam describes. Okay, yes, connection to Hashem is right, but he describes it. Okay, but that's what he might be able to do. But now we're talking about what type of a person he is, okay? So the Rambam's like this. The Rambam says, Ein nevuah chola. Nevuah does not fall upon. A person doesn't get nevuah unless they have three qualities. Chacham gadol b'chachma. You know what that means? Very, very intelligent. Tremendous knowledge. Chachma. Okay. Gibor b'midosav. He's very strong in his midos, right? V'lo yehe yitzro misgaber alav bedavar ba'olam. And his Yetzirah will not overpower him in anything, right? He would, you hear about the Yetzirah, right? Yetzirah can't overpower him. But listen to what the Rambam says. Elohu, he misgaber bedaito al Yitzro tamid. He overcomes his Yetzirah, how? Bedaito. Through his knowledge, okay? So what does that mean, through his knowledge? So now could you identify what we called before the Yetzer Tov? What is the Yetzer? So how does he overcome the Yetzer Hara? So the Rambam describes it with his knowledge. So which part of man is really the good part of man? His knowledge, his Chachma. That means whenever... That's correct. But there's a part of man that loves Chachma. You see? That part of man is the good part. You see? Of course, a person has to study the Torah to get the Chachma. Without studying the Torah, he doesn't have any Chachma, right? But there's a part of the person that looks for Chachma and loves Chachma. What is another word for that? Another word that we have for that, that the, in Bereshis, we have a word. When Hashem created man, what does it say? It's the Tzelem Elokim. We call it Tzelem Elokim, right? The universe? Okay. The Tzelem Elokim is a part of man that looks for Chachma and loves Chachma. So that is the good, that is the part that overpowers the other part, the bad part, right? Mm-hmm. What is the bad part? Now we see the good part, right? So the good part is not conscience, it's a part of a person that looks for Chachma. That means whenever a person does an Avera, what is he losing? What is he overlooking? If he really had Chachma, he would never do it. If he was really intelligent, if he really had knowledge, he would never do that Avera, right? So the good part is the part that loves Chachma and looks for Chachma. Remember you said before, I asked what the good part, he said, to do what the Torah says, right? Yeah, you're right. But what part of you wants to do what the Torah says? The part that is looking for knowledge, because where is the knowledge found? In the Torah. So therefore, the part of a person that looks for Hashem's Chachma is the good part, right? Okay, now what's the bad part? What do you say the bad part? What? Okay, but you can't say the bad part is the lack of the good part. We're looking for the two things. We said there's a person's always caught in between two forces, right? So we found the good force, we said, is the part that loves Chachma and looks for Hashem's Chachma and wants to learn the Torah because it wants to know what the right thing to do is, right? Yes. Now, what is the bad part? What's the bad part? The other side. What? Yeah. The goof, okay. Desire. Goof, desire. Good possibilities. Yeah. You know what?
Your head is the good part and your heart is bad. Your heart wants to do the worldly thing and your head wants to go and do bad things.
Okay. Right. So, okay. But what I'd like to do is they're saying, how many answers do I have? I have desire. What else? No, knowledge is the good part. Now we want to identify the bad part. Okay, so what is the bad part? Goof. Okay, what else?
Desire.
What else? What did he say?
The heart.
Okay, sometimes, in the Torah, sometimes the word lev could mean the good part too. It depends what, you have to read, you have to know the context in which is, for instance, the same bilibeinu lehavanu lehaskil. But that's good. See, but sometimes lev means bad. Depends. You have to know the framework, what it's talking about, because sometimes lev means what you desire, but sometimes it could mean desire good also. That's right. Because a person that's really a tzaddik, his lev, he's all his desire is for the good. So the lev means desire, but desire can be bad too. So you have to see how the Torah. Lo sochari levavchem. Over there it means just plain desire. So a person can just have plain desire. Now I would just like to identify it a little better without using any fancy words, but just to simply to sense it, because we want to understand what's going on, right? So we want to be able to feel what we're talking about, not just to say a word that has a meaning but doesn't have any meaning to us, because you know what I mean, because we don't know what it is. How would you say, what would you say if you want to describe The Yetzirah. What would you say the Yetzirah? See, the formula, if the Yetzirah Tov, what we call the Yetzirah Tov, could talk, it would tell you what? What would it tell you? Go for what? Go for what? Yeah, I know, but go for... Yeah, go to mitzvahs, but why? Chachma, chachma, right. Go for chachma. That's what the Yetzirah is. The Yetzirah Tov, if you want to put words in the Yetzirah Tov's mouth, it would say, go for chachma. And where's chachma found? In the Torah. In the Torah, right? Because Hashem, Hashem is the source of all chachma. So he gave us the chachma in the Torah, right? Okay. Now, if the Yetzer Hara could talk, what would it say? What would it say? Go for what? Go for what? For what? For what? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, 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 good. The things that feel good. Right? The things that feel good. That's what the Yetzer, if the Yetzer Hara could, if you wanted to put words in the Yetzer Hara's mouth, and what advice would the Yetzer Hara give you, the Yetzer Hara would tell you, go for things that feel good. If it feels good, then it is good. Must be good. Right, exactly. And what does Chachma say? Opposite. It could feel good, but it could be very bad. Right. Because when you analyze it and you think about it, something could feel very good right now, but it could lead to a terrible thing, right? Person had the most the something tasted very good, but it had poison in it. So his desire, Yetzer would say, eat it. This is going to taste good. Yetzer would say, 1 second, Chachma tells me this is going to kill me, right? So Chachma, now you see the two forces, right? So what is a person when we say a person has free will, choice, right? What are the two? He's making a choice between what and what. What feels good and what really is good. What his Chachma tells him is really good, right? And of course, Chachma, you must always, in order to have true Chachma, what do you have to know? You have to study the Torah. The Torah tells you. And the other side tells you, forget about that. Just go by what?
By
your feelings, your desire. Whatever you desire, it feels good, do it, right? So now we identify the two parts, right? Okay, so now when a person does an Avera, what happens to the person? What does the person do? They go after what? They're following which part of their mind? The part that tells them to do it because...
If I do, they want.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like so, when they start off, they have five bricks for anything they do good, they get another brick, anything they do bad, a brick gets taken off. But when he's a shoe for something, it's like replacing that missing brick.
Okay. So in other words, yes. When a person does not vary, he's under the force of which he's under the sway. He's under the power of what?
Of the desire,
the instinctual part, the instincts of man that drive him towards things that he thinks are going to feel good, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in order to do tshuva, you have to pull yourself away from what?
From desire.
From that part, and you have to listen to which part?
To the part of chachma.
Right. So now you see there are always like two wheels spinning in a person at the same time. One wheel is the wheel of desire, right? We're calling it the wheel of desire. And the other wheel is the wheel of chachma, right? Now, if a person goes to the side of the desire, what does that do to him when he's on the side of the desire? He is completely away from what?
From
the chachma, right? Okay. And in order to get back, he has to pull himself away from that side and go to the other side, right? The side of Chachma. Because, you see, the side of the desire has a pull to it. You know, it pulls the individual, right? It sucks them in, right? Okay. So now, in order to do tshuva, so what do you have to do?
and start going, but you have to pull yourself back from...
Away from what?
From the desire.
Okay. But now let's say, for instance, we mentioned conscience before, right? So let's say, for instance, a person did not err, and then they feel bad about it. Their conscience bothers them. And because of their conscience, they feel guilty about it, you see? They feel guilty. So now they say, I'm not going to do it anymore. Is that real tshuva? Why isn't it real tshuva? Why isn't it real tshuva? So why is it real tshuva?
Did you ever notice people
like they always say what they call, like Goyim have a phrase they call like resolutions, like to make a resolution.
Yeah, right.
Okay. But you ever notice that these people, like, they feel very bad and then they say they're never going to do it again, right? But then what happens? Never works. Exactly. Why? Why doesn't it work? Yeah, but they lie, they make a real commitment. They say, I feel bad, I was terrible, I shouldn't have done this, it's the wrong thing. Yeah, why not? Ah, very good. You need to?
Know why.
See? Very good. He said very good. The reason is because they're not going to Chachma. You see, they don't really know why they did. They're not going under Chachma. They just feel bad. So that's like a guilty conscience. You know what I mean? So, like I said before, in the Goyim, all Goyim have is conscience because they have no system, right? So therefore they feel bad, their conscience bothers them. But then tomorrow they get up in the morning and the conscience doesn't bother them so much. So what happens? Forget about it. That's it. But what could really make a change in a person? Ah, exactly. If he uses Chachma and he understands how bad what he did was really bad, and this is crazy, I can't do this, I'm destroying myself. Then if a person would understand that, so then would he fall, would the person ordinarily fall back?
No.
Okay. Right?
Yes, yes.
Unless it's possible, you don't know, 5 years down the line, the person, anything could happen. When the Rambam says that Hashem should be able, as if Hashem should testify, as if Hashem should be able to testify and say this person will never do it again, what does that mean? Does that mean that Hashem is looking into the future, whether he's going to change or not?
No.
No. What does it mean? Right now.
If
he what? Ah, exactly. That's what it means. In other words, did this person right now remove themselves from the emotions and the desires and the following the Eitz Hara way into a whole new way because now they see their Chachma sees that this was crazy. How could I do this, right? So then if the person did that, then Hashem, so to speak, could, it's as if Hashem could testify and say that what?
That if he's not.
He's not going to do it again. That's correct. But if it was just the person felt guilty, just conscience. Yeah, so conscience, that's like people make resolutions, I'm not going to do it, but then you see they break them very quickly. Why? Because what's missing? So now you understand what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that Hashem is as if Hashem should be able to testify. It doesn't mean Hashem is going into the future, what's going to happen down the line. That person can change, he can become foolish again. You see, that's possible. It's rare, but it's a possibility. But what it means is right now, Hashem should be able to see that this person did what? They really, because they went... Exactly. And they really see what's wrong. They're not going to go back. They're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and they're going to not have a guilty conscience and they'll do the avera, right? Okay? Okay, now we'll get back to your question. That was your question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know you like your question. Okay. Now let's take this way. It's a very good question. The question that he asked was, okay, so that's fine. So now we have to answer that other question. Why does the Rambam say? Well, really, the Navi says. The Navi says that Achare Shuvi, after I did tshuva, now I have to go back and have to feel bad for what I did. Why do I have to feel bad? Can you think of a reason why I have to feel bad?
Then you really mean that I'm not going to do it again. It's like,
yeah. Okay. Why? Because if you
feel bad, you don't want to do it again. So when you say I'm not going to do it again, you're going to really mean it.
In other words, that you see, the person, we said there are two wheels spinning in a person's mind, right?
Yeah.
One wheel is telling him, hey, come over here, this tastes good, it seems good, feels good, do it, right? And the other side says, wait a second, you got to use chokhmah over here, you got to see, this may be terrible, right? So, in order for a person to do tshuva, he has to put himself under the wheel of chokhmah, right? Now, the desire has a very strong pull to it. When you're under the desire, it's very hard to pull away, right? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, a person, in order to pull themselves away, has to realize, not just in the future, how, understand how bad it is, but he has to also understand what? How much harm he did to himself in the past. If he doesn't understand, if his chachma just tells him about the future, but doesn't tell him the harm in the past, he's not really removed to the side of chachma. Because let's say a person did a stupid thing, and because of the stupid thing, he lost something that he liked. Okay? Mm-hmm. So wouldn't he have to think to himself, look, well, how did I do this? This doesn't make any sense, why I harm myself, right? And if a person doesn't do that, then he's not pursuing what chachma tells him. So then he's stopping short, you see? It's not enough to realize that it's wrong in the future. You have to follow what chachma tells you about the past too and realize how you harmed yourself, right? Then he really can remove himself from the force of the Yetzer Hara. Okay? Mm-hmm. You understand it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Right.
You don't make a bracha. Okay. What is the answer?
Next time you make a bracha.
Yeah, but what is the answer? You know the Gemara says in brachas. The Gemara says in brachas that a person should. The Gemara says that a. You ever made brachas yet? Are you learning brachas now? You guys learning brachas?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay, I'll read you my brachas. The Gemara says like this. See, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that in the beginning of Ketzed Mevarchen, on the first blot, so the Gemara says, Asul la'adam shiyenem en olam azeb lo bracha. A person is not allowed to have any enjoyment from this world without a bracha. Okay? Okay? It's as if he took something from the Beis HaMikdash. Because really, the Hegdash, right. Okay, because really the whole world is like a Beis HaMikdash. Because it all belongs to Hashem. So now the Gemara says, it all belongs to Hashem. So now the Gemara says, Maita Kante, what should the person do? So the Gemara says, Yelech Etzel Chacham. He should go to a Chacham. And the Chacham will help him. So the Gemara asks the question is, what could the Chacham help him? If a person ate without a bracha, what's the Chacham going to do for him? He'll tell him he did something wrong. So what's that going to do for him? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, Elo Amarava, Yelechetzel Chacham Meikara, V'yelamdenu Brachos. He should go to a Chacham to begin with, to teach him brachas. So what is the Gemara saying over here? Of course, you have to go to anything you want to do. You have to go to find out what the Yeska Shaila. Okay, why does the Gemara say Yelechet to Chacham? You should go to a Chacham. What do you think?
Well, he's been able to forget.
Because the Chacham will explain to him the ideas of brachas. Will explain to him why you have to make a bracha. Will explain to him the whole concept of bracha. Will give him the ideas of brachas, and then will teach him all the intricate halachas of brachas and how they work, and it'll give them a reason for everything, and it'll have an understanding of brachas, right?
Okay.
So you see, so what does the person need if he wants to? It sounds like a simple thing. If you want to just want to eat a fruit, so all you have to do is make a bracha. But the Gemara doesn't say it's a simple thing. The Gemara says you have to go to a great chacham. Why? Because only a great chacham can teach you the ideas of bracha. When you understand the ideas of bracha, then what? That's right. Now you see the answer to your question? So your question, the Gemara answers your question. His question was, how does a person do tshuva if he ate without a bracha? What's the answer?
He has to
get a Rebbe, who's a chacham, to teach him the ideas of bracha. And once he understands the ideas of bracha, then he has the chachma, like we said before, you have to follow Chochmah. And once he has the Chochmah and he understands brachas, then he'll never do what? He'll never do that. Exactly. So how does a person do tshuva if a person lay out a bracha, what should he do?
Go to a rabbi and learn.
Exactly. He should learn about brachas. Because the reason why he didn't make a bracha is because he was missing what?
Chochmah,
the knowledge of brachas. That's exactly. So the Gemara really answers your question. Okay? That's the way you should do tshuva. Yes?
So, it's half feeling bad about it and knowing you're not going to do it again, and the other part is returning it to Hashem by learning.
So returning what?
You're returning
the,
giving your bracha back to Hashem.
You're talking about brachas? We're talking about tshuva in general. Brachos is a separate area. I mean, I could give you that would have to be a different shiur on brachas. But brachas is of course is very very important mitzvah, one of the most important mitzvahs. But it's a part. Tshuva could be about brachas, it could be about a lot of things, all the mitzvahs of Torah. So we're just talking about tshuva in general. So tshuva in general, it's when you said it's part feeling bad, it's a certain kind of feeling bad. What kind of feeling bad?
Like I'm not
going to. Yeah, but what kind of feeling bad? See, a person can feel bad just because they conscious. He understands what he did wrong. See, he understands what he did. That's a different kind of feeling bad. A person feel bad just feels bad. Okay, I shouldn't have done it. That's like a resolution. Like that's something that is not going to last long. But when he really understands it, you see, he feels bad because he says, "How could I be that foolish? How could I do such a stupid thing?" See, he's ashamed of himself because it's ridiculous. That's the kind of feeling bad that's real tshuva. See, that's what the Rambam is saying. Okay, any questions?
So tshuva is feeling bad and understanding what you did.
That's right, exactly.
So let's say someone takes something, and he realizes what he did is bad. And he realized how bad it is, and everything. He feels sorry, and so is that his teshuva, or he returns it?
If he took something, right? You mean he stole something?
Mm-hmm.
So if the person stole something and he realizes it's bad,
mm-hmm.
and he realizes it's wrong, and he understands why it's wrong, mm-hmm. He understands the reason why this is a terrible thing that he's done, and he sinned against Hashem, and he sinned against this person, right?
Yeah.
So now would he return it?
What?
Would he return? He would return. Okay. So he returns it, and then that's correct. That's real tshuva. That's real tshuva. But he has to understand. See, he has to understand not just why it's wrong. What he has to understand two things. He has to understand why it's wrong, but he has to understand how he harmed himself by doing that. You see how he himself harmed himself. He thought he gained something by stealing, right? But he has to understand he really lost. He really harmed himself to a far greater degree than the little bit of gain that he got from taking it. You understand what I mean? That's why the Gemara Chazal say that a person has to weigh schar mitzvah keneged hafseda and schar aver keneged hafseda. It doesn't mean, yeah, of course, he gained something, he stole again, but what he lost is far greater than that little bit that he gained. And when he understands that and he sees how he harmed himself, that's a real truth. But he has to understand that. So that's why you have to learn Torah. Because when you learn Torah, the Torah teaches you not just what to do, but it explains to you when you really get deeper and older, you keep learning Torah, you'll understand why every mitzvah that you do is really the best thing for you and you're gaining the most. And every avera that a person does, he's losing. He's losing out on his own happiness and on the good life, a wonderful life that he could have, and how he's harming himself. That's the real tshuva. But of course, you know, it takes. That's why a person has to always learn all his life. Keep on learning, because the more a person learns, the more he understands, and the more he understands the derech hachayim of Torah, and the more he can do tshuva. And tshuva is something which a person must constantly do all their life. As a person progresses, goes further, he's always in the process of doing tshuva. Tshuva is not a thing you do. Of course, you see, the Torah takes takes a mitzvah and takes a zman, a day, Yom Kippur, is the zman that we concentrate on shuvah. But really, shuvah is every day, all the time, because you can't move ahead unless you do shuvah. Because shuvah is when chachma tells you that you're doing wrong. And as you keep learning, you keep seeing more and more things that you're doing wrong, and you keep on doing tshuva. So tshuva is a process of growing in Torah, growing as a person. You see? And it must go hand in hand. That's why you always have to learn all your life. A person can't stop. Because the Chachmas Hashem is, Chachmas Hashem is infinite, endless, and a person can keep on going as long as the person's alive and he has the ability to learn. He could always keep on learning more. If he learns more, he starts seeing more that he's doing this wrong, he has to change this. It's always a process. Tshuva is a thing that's a constant thing. A person has to do it all the time. All the time. But Yom Kippurim is a day which is, the Torah concentrates itself on that mitzvah.
With a little bit of
it's not yet. Yeah, that's correct. But you have to understand also, when you keep learning Torah, you'll see that the words, see, now you can call it Gashmius Ruchnius, which is a nice term. But when you get more insight in the Torah, you'll see exactly what you mean by that and why a person's life is really improved. You can't compare the person's life who's living the life of Torah and Mitzvahs. It's the enjoyment and the satisfaction and the happiness that the person has from the life of Ruchnius, as you're saying, as opposed to the misery and trouble and pain that a person has who lives the opposite kind of life. See, that's why the pasuk of Arshoyim Kayam Nigrash, that the Rasha really has a very inside, he's very unhappy. Very unhappy, and he has a very bad life. But the tzaddik, on the contrary, see, tzaddik always have, if a person would be able to imagine what kind of an enjoyment the Vilna Gaon had in learning. It's like constant adventure of chachma, seeing chachmas Hashem every minute, one after another. The enjoyment is unbelievable. It's greater than any kind of hanah that an individual can have in any type of anything they could do. You see? Like Ramban says, Ein simcha katarsis feikus. The greatest enjoyment is, that's why the mitzvah of Tanta, what do you say? Harev not Hashem Elokeinu, as the rest of us will know. It's not enough a person learns. You have to, enjoying the learning is part of the mitzvah of learning, because that's the greatest thing that a person can do, the greatest enjoyment a person can have is in Torah. So a person loses that, they have to be miserable. They can't possibly, it's not possible to enjoy life without Torah. So Kihim Chayin Varchimeno means, literally, that is the greatest life. And if a person misses that, he misses the greatest in life. Okay, I want to say, Gmar Chasim Tova. It's a pleasure to learn with you. And you should be zelcha to do tshuva, Yom Kippur, and all year, and keep going to a higher and higher level in Yedias HaTorah.